You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a five-star review. You can always find us on Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. If you have basketball questions for us to answer on the show or advertising inquiries, email us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at lockedonbulls. Like us on Facebook at lockedonbulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, the Bulls are 2-0 after a convincing win over the Pacers.
More importantly, the Bulls are fun again.
Yeah. What was that?
A 118-101 win over the Indiana Pacers. It wasn't even a 17-point
game. No, it wasn't.
Game.
They were up by 29 at one point.
The Bulls ran out to 30 fast break points, 21 of them in the first half. Just ran the Pacers off the floor, who, it should be noted, were playing on the second night of a back-to-back. But still, the Bulls dominated in every facet of this basketball game. A night that Chicago probably didn't see because the Cubs were simultaneously playing in the World Series turned into a showing of Fred Hoiberg basketball with the Bulls at the United Center that we hadn't seen, and I personally thought it was the best the Bulls had played in the Fred Hoiberg era, which is just starting its second season, but still saying something after a disappointing last season.
Yeah, I mean, the ball movement was 34 assists on 45 made field goals, only 12 turnovers, and that's even counting a lot of just really sloppy garbage time ones.
Yeah, there was a couple passes from the second string and Rajon Rondo kind of later there in the second half too, and such. Third quarter, I should say. The starters really didn't play the fourth quarter at all because the Bulls were winning by so much, and that was good for him too, keeping Dwayne Wade's minutes to 21, Jimmy Butler's minutes to 25 as they embark on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday trip here for games next week. I think they got one Saturday. So after an off day Sunday for the Bulls travel day, they have a lot coming up. But that passing was brilliant. It helps when you're in transition because it's easier to pass, I think, in the open floor when there's only a couple defenders. But everyone got in on the action. Doug McDermott had 23 points. The Pacers' strategy of leaving him wide open in the corner for three-pointers, terrible idea. They need to rethink that one.
He's the one guy that, like, the scouting report should say, because, I mean, some of these other guys, I mean, there was not nearly the shooting by some of the Bulls' other guards that there was in the opening game against Boston. Dwayne Wade, after his scoring outburst from outside, didn't even attempt a three-pointer tonight. But Doug McDermott is the one guy you have to, like, if you're another team, you have to look on the scouting report and just say, don't leave that guy open.
Yeah, absolutely. Jimmy went for 16 points. Dwayne Wade had 14 points. All these guys were efficient. Tosh Gibson played well, too, with 12 points.
None of the starters played more than 25 minutes.
Yeah, so, I mean, Fred Hoiberg told his team afterwards that if the Bulls move the ball like that all season and buy into it, they have a chance to be good. I think he might have put an adjective or a modifier on there, something like pretty good or really good. I don't know what it was, but they have a chance to be pretty darn successful if they move the ball like that. And I think what's important here is there was a lot of mystery surrounding this Bulls team, a lot of uncertainties, question marks, a team that wasn't constructed in the typical manner by the front office. They needed to get some early wins, I think, Sean, because if it didn't work at the start, those questions were only going to intensify. Now that it is working at the start, and I know it's two home games, but it's two playoff teams that are projected in the East in the Celtics and Pacers, and they outplayed both of these teams. Clearly, the Celtics game on opening night was a little closer, but the Bulls did outplay them. I think it's big to have just that early returns and to see a result to believe in, to kind of give some conviction to what Hoiberg's doing.
Yeah, they're really not the kind of team that can afford to get off to a slow start. Like, you know, for example, when the Warriors got blown out by the Spurs on opening night, we're just like, okay, they'll be fine. They don't need to really worry about them. With the Bulls, like, especially, you know, with some of the personalities on this team and just bit questions about how they'll fit together, if they started the season off like 2-6 or something, then, you know, it would be like, wait, this isn't going to work, and then there'd just be maybe a players-only meeting at some point, and it would just kind of all snowball.
Yeah, and you bring up 2-6. I mean, now the Bulls have a chance to get off to a really good start with the game at the Nets, at the Celtics, the Knicks coming back home, at the Pacers, and I think the Magic after that. Like, there's a lot of winnable games here early to keep building on this. Obviously, a tough game at Boston, but, like, Bulls can get out to a 6-2 start, something like that, and have that to reflect on and draw on right away.
The Boston one, I think, is the first real test, because they should. I mean, I know Brooklyn beat Indy last night, and they're, I believe we're recording this while they're winning tonight, but the Bulls should be able to beat Brooklyn. And then Boston, I mean, they beat Boston on opening night, but that was, Boston was on a back-to-back. The Bulls weren't. Marcus Smart may play on Wednesday. We don't know. But that's going to be the first time the Bulls play a good team that isn't on a back-to-back.
Yeah, I thought the biggest thing, too, tonight was everyone in that locker room, from Fred Hoiberg to every player, is singing the praises of Rajon Rondo.
Yeah.
He had 13 assists, 10, I think, in the first half, and played really well. He's not ever going to light it up by way of field goals.
His jump shot is totally broken.
It's not good. He still doesn't like shooting free throws, really. He doesn't like going and drawing contact. He wants to pass when he gets in the paint, when he gets among the trees. Even when he has lanes to the basket, he'd rather just draw a defender and leave it for someone else. So he had 6 points, but 13 assists. And, I mean, we've talked about how well he sees the floor, but we didn't know if it was going to work because of spacing issues. Through two games, it's worked, in part because Doug McDermott shot well tonight, Jimmy and Dwayne Wade shot really well from deep on opening night, and just because, I mean, the Bulls are cutting well, too. I think there's something to be said for that. There were several occasions tonight where they made a good cut and immediately made a second pass off to that to have someone wide open for a layup or dunk. I know Taj and Robin Lopez both got, were the beneficiary of some of that. So that's really good. But I mean, they're standing up and saying, I think it was Dwayne Wade the other day said, it's great to have Rondo go in there and back you up when they get in a fight or whatever,
right,
or skirmish. And people are all on the same page with Rondo. I got a kick out of someone asking him in post-game interviews, you know, how do you persuade these guys to run in the open court with you? When that was kind of a problem in the preseason, Fred Hoiberg pointed that out. Last year, the Bulls didn't get out in transition enough. And Rondo's just like, well, you know, I'm going to have the ball out there. Who doesn't want the ball? So, like, you got to follow me if you want in on this. Like, that's Rajon Rondo in a nutshell right there.
There you go. Exactly. So, Cody, the next Bulls game, the next home game, they have this two-game swing in the Northeast. They go to Brooklyn on Monday and then Boston on Wednesday. Their next game at home is one of the more anticipated games on the schedule. It is the Knicks with Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah coming back for the first time since they both left the Bulls this summer. And if you want to get the best deals on tickets for that game,
you guys have got
you need to go to SeatGeek.
To SeatGeek. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way. I found a shop for tickets. You can be anywhere, anytime, and with just a few taps, you can instantly find the seats for this weekend or any game of the season. And we know the NBA season is back. SeatGeek's the smartest, easiest way to find tickets to the games you want to see up close and in person all season long. There's nothing like being at the game for the biggest plays of the year. And with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get those seats at a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether it's courtside, club seats, upper deck, whatever your choosing is. With SeatGeek, you always get the best deals because there's price comparison by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices vary depending on where you shop, but SeatGeek will always find the lowest available price, and SeatGeek wants to help get you the most bang for your buck, and that's why every ticket is valued based on a deal score. You'll immediately see underpriced seats in the house and be able to find the best deals to fit your budget. Plus, every SeatGeek ticket, 100% guaranteed. You can't ask for much more than that. So, what you guys need to do is go download the SeatGeek app to your phone. You know how to do that. Go to settings and click add a promo code, LOBULLS. That's LOBULLS, and you'll get $20 rebate on the first purchase you make. So please, check out the SeatGeek app, download it to your phone, and enter promo code LOBULLS today as soon as you can. What else stuck out to you in this second game of the season for the Bulls as they move to 2-0, Sean?
In particular, I really liked that bench unit
played
in the second quarter. They had that 22-4 run, I believe, that you know, pushed the lead up to 19.
And that was Dwayne Wade
with
Mirotić, McDermott, Felicio,
and MCW.
Yep, you got it.
I thought that lineup was kind of interesting, and I like the idea of having Wade out there with those young guys, to have one guy there. First of all, you're gonna have that unit in against the other team's second unit, so Dwayne Wade can just destroy other team's bench players. But also, just having one guy out there that has the kind of basketball IQ that Dwayne Wade has, and you know, just has been in these situations and gonna have to bring that calming influence. So you're not just throwing a whole bench unit out there.
I thought those pieces fit together.
They
well
did too, because you got
because MCW did a really good job putting ball pressure on defense tonight. That should be noted because the Bulls have not had that in past seasons at all. In fact, John Paxton went out of his way to point out how Derrick Rose did not apply enough ball pressure to get the defense started for him last year. He went out of his way unprompted to say that. So to see MCW do that was an added little wrinkle for the Bulls. I mean, Rondo has played good defense so far, but he's not hounding you step for step like MCW was. Had a couple of knockaways, like created transition opportunities for him. But then you got Doug McDermott on the wing, who seems to go well with D-Wade there. And, I mean, you're not overflowing with shooting exactly because the Bulls aren't in general, but you do have Doug and Nico on there. And then Felicio was a nice compliment to Nico, it kind of seemed like, on that group.
Felicio has looked really comfortable out there, I've thought, so far through these first two games. I just think he's getting so much more. Like last year, you know, you could see the flashes of, you know, he's a pretty smart player and he's pretty polished, but he'd still make some rookie mistakes. This year I think he's just been a lot more consistent. He's really active, but he's kind of doing stuff with all that activity.
Yeah, 7 points, 8 rebounds, and just shy of 20 minutes, which is everything you'd want from him. And again, worth noting, he was the second big off the bench after Nico, but he's clearly ahead of Bobby Portis in every regard on the depth chart, and I think that will continue because it's working so far. And Chris Felicio has earned that right as well. And it's worth noting, Dwayne Wade, he pretty much endorsed that second unit in post-game interviews. You know, we asked him what he thought about it. He's like, yeah, I liked that a lot. Like, we should keep doing that, you know what I mean? So this isn't rocket science. You find something that works, you should keep doing it. And Fred Hoiberg has said on multiple occasions that early in the year, you know, these rotations will be in flux a little bit, but it looks like he's found a few things that he kind of wants to do
here. I think that unit in particular he's found something with. And now Mirotić is, now this is another game where, you know, he shot 1 for 4 from three. That, you know, the three-point shot is supposed to be his strength. He wasn't making his threes, but everything else he was doing, I thought he looked really good tonight.
Yeah, he did. He's got knocked down shots, but the thing was about him, the concerns were if he wasn't knocking down shots, what's he contribute? It's like, why is he even here?
Right.
But all of a sudden,
he's playing solid defense.
Like, he's doing other things like rebounding and stuff. 9 rebounds the first game. I mean, he did his job tonight. It's like all of a sudden he is a more complete basketball player than he was like a week ago when the preseason ended or something, which is kind of shocking to tell you the truth. But it's like, sent him to the bench, and Fred Hoiberg said, you know, Nico understood why he went to the bench. I think everyone in the organization understood why he came off the bench. And props to him, a guy who has admitted before that he's let struggles beget more struggles and let his play kind of creep in mentally and overthink. He's doing his job and not overthinking now, which is a good step for Nico. I think that's a really good sign moving forward for the Bulls.
Yeah, and the other, you know, the thing with him is he's not pump faking at all. He's just shooting his threes. He gets a shot and he just throws it up. He doesn't hesitate. He's a lot more decisive about it.
Yeah, that's good. And if any of you intrepid Bulls fans and Locked On Bulls podcast listeners want to like track Nico pump fakes for us this year,
I did that last year on Synergy.
You are welcome to do that and let us know in the feedback. But yes, I've noticed that too.
He just seems like he knows, like when he gets the ball, he's either going to pass it or shoot it.
Well, that's good. He needs to do that. But that's good stuff.
We need to talk about what could have been the most important play of the game if it had actually happened.
The Doug McDermott
almost dunk on Paul George.
Yeah, Doug wanted to create a poster. There will not be a poster of that yet.
But just, I mean, it's actually kind of like, you know, it's obvious like what the stereotype is. You look at Doug, you're just like, oh, he's just a white guy who just shoots. But Doug,
you can jump out of the gym.
The athleticism, like, the words like sneaky athleticism is just, like I said, it's just code for like, oh, it's a white guy who's not just a shooter. But like, Doug has dunked on people in the past. I remember
in the post-game locker room, you were talking about the time he hurt his wrist dunking or something.
Yeah, no, so a couple, 2 years ago, the summer after his rookie season,
yeah,
I was out at Vegas covering summer league, and he had a dunk in that game, and he had an ice wrap on his wrist afterwards. And I was asking him if he was going to be in a dunk contest, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a sleeper candidate."
That would be incredible.
And even tonight, like, I was just chatting with him, you know, as I was getting into the locker room for post-game, and he showed like, he had a little scar, not like a cut, but just like a little bruise or like a mark or something on his wrist from the almost dunk on Paul George, and he jumped too high and like went too far with it. But that, I mean, that would have been, I mean, for the 12,000 people who were maybe here tonight, because this was probably one of the more empty
nights with the Cubs.
Nights that you'll see series. Because this is the only Bulls home game that's going to coincide with the Cubs World Series game. So there weren't that many people there, but they would have gotten to see the greatest moment of Doug McDermott's career and maybe the best Bulls dunk since Michael Jordan.
Or didn't Scotty have one over Patrick Ewing the one time? That was an all-time classic. I do think, though, that gets back to a greater point of, again, two games. I'm not talking about what's going to happen in the last 80, but so far the Bulls are having fun.
There's a lot to be encouraged by.
They weren't having fun for many parts of last season, like after January 1st, basically. Even before then when the Jimmy comments came out. But like the Isaiah Cannon tried to pick up the 277-pound Robin Lopez. Isaiah Cannon weighs 201 pounds, and Lopez was kind of not.
He's probably up in the high 200, low 300s because he's a.
No, he's 277.
He's 277, so like high 200s.
Yeah, so he had 76 pounds on him, and Cannon's trying to pick him up like three times, couldn't lift him off the floor, and Robin Lopez is like, nah, man, I'm good down here, you know, like, let me catch my breath. So then Isaiah Cannon, like, started walking down the front row of the crowd and just flexed at him. And it's like, no one did that, like, on the team last week. No one got a kick out of anything.
There was, like, no interactions. And even, like, in the locker room afterwards, guy, I mean, obviously, anybody, it's going to be kind of a lighter atmosphere after a win like this, a big blowout win. But guys were loose. Like, I overheard, like, different guys, like, making dinner plans and saying, hey, you were great tonight. Like, just kind of chatting. It was pretty loose.
Yeah, and, you know, Taj Gibson has said, he just said tonight, the energy level of this team is just completely different from last year. Everybody's really buying in.
Yeah.
A little shade at last year's team, but he's also not
the first person to say that on the record either.
Yeah, Doug.
Doug, I think Jimmy has said that it's a better vibe than last year. Like, pretty much everybody who was here last year, and it's not even that many guys on the team at this point. But
yeah, six of them, I think.
Right.
Is the count.
So one more thing I want to talk about here.
Okay.
Like, I know they were on a back-to-back, but, like, why are the Pacers not good? I thought the Pacers were supposed to be good.
They didn't get back. They were.
They looked terrible.
Awful
tonight.
At getting back on defense. So this Bulls fast break. Yes, they pushed it. Did a good job following Rondo's lead. But I mean, anybody that can like run one consecutive mile on the treadmill on a low setting without stopping could have done better than the Pacers tonight getting back on defense, because they were pathetic getting back defensively on 4, 5, 6, 7 occasions. And I'm talking like obvious easy buckets. To say nothing of like secondary transition breaks that kind of set the Bulls up for their next action for an easy shot. So Pacers, big concerns. Everyone said they were going to be a playoff team. I was probably one of those guys.
I was definitely one of those guys.
Big concerns.
I mean,
they gave up a lot of points to the Mavs on opening night, and also too many points to the Brooklyn Nets.
You can't losing to Brooklyn is never the move.
I think 103 to them. So their defense needs a lot of work.
Okay, so I mean, it's only three games into the season. I think the Pacers are going to get it together eventually. And, you know, it's also just the kind of thing where when you have a guy like Paul George on your team, it's only so bad that you can be. He's one of those guys where, I mean, I think he's probably the second best player in the Eastern Conference behind LeBron, right?
I'd have to go through and think, but I can't think of it.
No. And, you know, Miles Turner, 20 points tonight. He looked real good. He obviously didn't go off for 33 points like he did on opening night, but he looked good. I think he's got some problems. Like, the rest of this team, Jeff Teague shot 0-for-7. It was just, there's just this Pacers team, like, you look at their top-end talent and you think, okay, these guys, you know, have a lot of talent. This is going to be good. But they have a lot of stuff to figure out.
Yeah. Pacers arrow pointing down early on. Bulls arrow pointing up, and they will be up on a plane tomorrow to Brooklyn.
So will I.
Sean's going.
I will be in Brooklyn and I will be in Boston.
First-hand reports from the Eastern Seaboard.
Right, your boy's a traveling beat writer now.
From Sean. So we'll get all those terrific stories. I know you'll have a couple podcasts on deck with people you find out on the East Coast.
Well, see, I don't know what the plan. I mean, I think probably on the off days. We're not going to have one tomorrow, but on the off days on the trip, like at the days after those games, right? I think we're going to do them either over Skype or however else. But, you know, after the games, like we might just do one with Jay after the – we did one with Jay after the last game, the Celtics game, so I'll probably do one with him after that. But I don't know what we'll figure stuff out.
Yeah.
There will be podcasts. It may be me and Cody. It may be me and somebody else.
Yep, you'll get a break from my voice probably. You guys will love that. But you can follow us, as always, on Twitter – at Hyken to follow Sean. Follow myself at Cody Westerlund. Follow Locked On Bulls at Locked On Bulls. Email us at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com with any basketball questions, with any advertising-related inquiries. Always appreciated. And most of all, as always, subscribe.
That's right. You can go on iTunes. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review. If you're not going to give us 5 stars, don't even bother leaving us a review. I can't stress that enough.
It's a cutthroat industry.
Five star reviews. If you leave us a 5-star review, advertisers will be more likely to give us money.
And we're all happy.
You get a good podcast. We get our 5-star reviews. Let's do it.
But we do appreciate you listening.
We're also on Audio Boom, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play. Pretty much, if you can find podcasts somewhere, you can find Locked On Bulls and the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, which you should also be listening to.
Yep. So thanks for listening. And until next time, take it easy.